Right now, it's time for our weekly legislative update. State Senator Mike Groney joining us on KODY. Good morning, Senator Groney. How are you?
Good. Very good.
Good morning, Mike.
Beautiful rain. Absolutely
yes.
Beautiful, needed rain.
Thank you, Jesus.
That is true.
Thank you, Jesus.
Remember, not that long ago, the whole state was in a drought warning. Remember what the fall was like in the late summer?
Yep. Oh, yeah.
Yep, we need the moisture.
Well, I don't think we're out of the drought yet, but at least it helps.
Well, when you get a rain like that, it soaks in. I seen puddling, but not what you would have got with a downpour.
No.
Soaked in. The frost was out of the ground. It was perfect timing. Miserable day, but it was perfect timing for the rain.
We're happy you could arrange that for us.
No, you're happy I can enjoy it with you. But everything. I'm down in Lincoln. We start at 10 today. We're starting pretty much debate every day now. Today we don't have a lot going on. I don't have the agenda in front of me. Bills that this should pass pretty quickly. Could one of you guys get me the agenda? I'm yelling at one of my staff. It's supposed to be laying on my desk, but it isn't.
Good. I hope that you weren't yelling at Rick or I. We could get you one, but it'd be out of date by the time we could get it to you.
I know. Anyway, but tomorrow, the reason I don't know is tomorrow is what I'm focusing on. Tomorrow morning at LB 88. Is the Senator Moorfield's bringing his cancel culture to allow kids in school to the school board and the principals and the superintendents not allow them to censor what they write in their school paper, and they're preaching it on the idea that it's speech and. And that it, these 16-year-old kids that we're still teaching them boundaries in life should be able to write whatever they want and put it in a paper with the heading North Platte Bulldogger that represents all the kids in the school and represents all the people in the community. And we don't do that we're going crazy right now with everybody can have a blog and everything, but that's fine. Some kid wants to start a blog, they can do it. If they want to have a Twitter account, they can do it. If they want to write their opinion in a composition for the literature class, they can. For composition class, they can. But I don't know if we're teaching civics or some of these teachers who are the sponsor for the newspaper who email me ever read the Constitution where it says freedom of speech, comma, freedom of the press. Entirely different issues. Freedom of speech, you can say what you want, you can write what you want, you can write a letter, whatever you want, to the newspaper, but it stops there. Freedom of press begins, where I was told once by an editor when I wrote an op-ed piece for the Omaha World Herald. It's a great piece. He says, great piece, good argument for your side, but I'm not going to print it. And I asked him, and I gave him the free speech spiel, and he replied, if you want, you got freedom of speech, but if you want freedom of the press, then go out and buy a newspaper. Go out and buy a radio station. Go out and buy a TV station. But this idea of cancel culture attack standards in our society that 16, 15, 18-year-old kids can start writing whatever they want in a newspaper, that's not going to happen at I will guarantee if there's certain things one of you two said at that radio station, you would not have a job tomorrow.
Yeah.
That's called freedom of the press. The press, the freedom is by the ownership. But we got some young conservatives going to support it because they remember a bad episode in their life where they wrote something for the paper and they got told by a superintendent, no, their principal. But for every one conservative who does it, there's 50 kids coming out of Senator Moorfield's Civics Nebraska organization, a radical group that gets into our schools and trains kids to be radicals. And part of that training is to get on the student paper, get heard. But and he's bringing the bill. But no, it's cancel culture. And it sounds great, doesn't it? My little Johnny is a great writer. Well, somebody ought to sit Johnny down and tell him what Bob Knight said about writing when a reporter got snippy with him and started telling him how to coach his team. He said, one thing I know about writing, most of us learned how to write in the third grade, then we went on to other things. So anyway,
that wasn't as bad as I thought it was going to be. That was pretty conservative for Bobby Knight.
Yeah. But anyway, that's it. I mean, how do we get here? We have a problem going on in government everywhere. We have this expedience of the moment mentality that our generation now is going to solve everything, and the checkbook is unlimited with this COVID money that's thrown out there, that we can do anything if we just print money and we can change mores and standards because today we feel like it. When we build on this for generations, checks and balances of our society, and now we're going to just eliminate them. Because today we feel like my grandson wanted to write a paper, and he called me up and said that he wasn't allowed to put his article in the paper, so therefore I'm going to support LB 88. I mean, it's nuts. It's chaos. There's no maturity anymore in our society. Anyway, it's a mess. But today we have by the way, our LB 50, LB 40 came out and is prioritized the rail yard.
Good.
I really liked the amendment. They worked with us on the amendment. I went high and settled for a little bit less, which was a lot more than we originally asked for. But now trying to get it on the agenda as quick as I can so I can get it passed. Because when you stand up for what's right and good, you create people who are immature and they want to. They go away from the issue and they start attacking people personally and not voting for your bills, but that's the way it is down here or any organization. So I'd like to get mine done and out so I can do the right thing on the floor, which I have a hard time not doing. Change insurance coverage, provision for mental health conditions and serious mental illness through telehealth. Is Arch's bill. There's some election law changes. One of the nice ones for rural Nebraska is LB 324, which I supported in committee. Brant's change provisions for Nebraska meat poultry inspection law, where, during the crisis, a man-made crisis where the packing plants couldn't produce and cattle were sitting in the yards and nowhere to go, and people and meat prices skyrocketed in the markets, in the supermarkets. There's a lot of talk about how can we get more beef through the little lockers, rural lockers. So Senator Brant came up with this based on an idea that happened in Wyoming where you can be an owner, like a co-op kind of type of deal of some cattle if you're a small rancher or something and you want to sell a part of a cow, a membership, then you can take the cow to the locker and a whole bunch of people can go pick it up and be able to get more beef marketed. Cause right now, we do it, Barb and I do it, you got a friend who, or you buy a half a beef from somebody.
Yeah, I've done that.
Probably isn't the most legal thing right now with the statutes the way they are. This will clear all that up. That you have to own the beef. If by statute now interpreted, but everybody's looked the other way, you're supposed to own the beef when it goes to the locker. You should be buying half of that beef on the hoof. I send the person a check before you. It goes to the locker. But now you could become a co-op and you could just buy some steaks or some roast or hamburger. Without having to take out every piece of that cut from that. It's a good bill. We need something like that. We need people to be able to bypass the corporate meat packers who right now are making all the money. Farmers are making, if they're lucky, $100, $200 bucks a head, and if they're lucky, and meat packers are making $1,000 bucks a head. And that's not talking about what the grocery store has put on top of it. So, anyway, that's a good bill, and that'll be heard if we get there today. Otherwise, it's pretty mundane stuff. It isn't much today besides that one, and Arch's bill might bring a little talk. One thing, LB 371, which I hesitated supporting, but Aguilar's change provisions provide for game of chance under the Nebraska Racetrack Gaming Act at state, district, and county fair locations. Wasn't real happy about this with the legalization of gambling at racetracks. Well, guess what a state fair is? It's in Grand Island at Fauner Park. So right now, state statute says you can't have any gambling or anything around fairs or alcohol or whatever unless you get a special license. So they'd have to shut the casino down during the state fair. And I had a hard time supporting that, or because you know, dad and mom take the kids to the state fair, and dad decides to go win the land payment with the ride money, and the kids and wife are sitting outside the casino crying because dad lost it all. I don't believe me, I've seen that happen. But anyway, but it's. Grand Island wanted to capture on all of that. Folks coming to the state fair and also with the gambling revenues that would happen. Hopefully people go to the fair, not to go to gamble. They can do that another day. But anyway, that bill's up on the agenda. That the casinos can operate during the state fair. A lot of stuff's coming out of committees. I don't know. We'll see Tuesday, the speaker. I offered two bills to the speaker to be one of his 25 speaker priority bills. One was the rural fire district. I'm hoping he takes that one. That'd be a boon for rural Nebraska. Could bring up to $8, $9, $10 million property tax relief and help our rural fire districts. And so that one, and then the other one was it could go on consent calendar too, but. Raise the distillery, because we have that distillery in Brady and Moorefield, from 10,000 gallons to 100,000. It's a minor bill, actually, but it's likely to be a speaker priority, but it probably also qualifies consent calendar. Consent calendar bills are just tweak present legislation or present statutes to update them. Without, if it didn't have any resistance in the committee, and it didn't, my bill came out 8-0 and had no opposition, either one of those. So those are two things I'm waiting for on Tuesday to hear about. LB 40, I've asked him to put it up quickly, and as I said earlier, in the agenda so I can get it through. Shouldn't have any major resistance to it, just spite, if there's some spite, because I took on somebody else's bill for rational, passionate, and the bill wasn't good for the state. But as I said, some folks don't operate that way.
There you go, stirring the pot again, Mike.
Trying to do what's right. I mean, it's scary down here. There's a mood here. There's a mood in the whole country that anything's possible.
Yeah.
Yeah, through God it is. But my God, it isn't through the government checkbook. It is short term. Like putting on a good drunk, a hangover comes sooner or later, but you feel pretty good during it. Anyway, anything going on back there?
Not a lot going on back here, Senator Groney. I guess one big thing we've been talking about here on the show the past couple of days, the sale of to-go alcohol, that was kind of something that was a big topic last week in the legislature. What are your opinions on this, Senator?
What was that again? The off-sale alcohol?
Yeah. Yep.
No, I wouldn't vote it out of committee. I lived with the one about the restaurants. I'm not crazy about it either. Where you can go order a meal to go from a nice restaurant, and you want a certain type of wine, a glass of it with your meal, or a certain mixed drink or something that you can order that also, or you can go to the grocery store. And call in your order, and then they'll bring out a bottle of wine or whatever they sell when they come and meet you at the curb. That was one of the governor's emergency pandemic issues. I could live with that because the restaurants really got hurt. Grocery stores didn't. They, boom, selling a lot of toilet paper and things that people wouldn't even sure they're going to need if they died tomorrow. But anyway, they did okay. All right, so I could live with that. Because if you're going to order a glass of wine or a mixed drink with a steak or a meal, you're probably a social drinker. But then also through the drive up liquor stores. That was the other bill by Wishart, companion bill, where the governor allowed people to drive up through a window, you know, takeout window.
Oh, sure.
There's too many. Senator Hilkeman did a good job explaining why it's bad. It's we have a very high per capita death rate from alcohol on roads. We have a lot of, we're a heavy drinking state, and it's not a good idea with somebody behind the wheel. If you're drunk and you shouldn't be buying, and you walk into the place and you're stumbling around, you're liable. I mean, if you sell them alcohol, you're liable.
Yeah.
How do you know that in a car if somebody drives up? How you know, you can look a person over pretty good when they come in, too, and see how old they are and make sure they ID them better with a photo ID. In a car, I don't know how good that is. I got a weird sense of humor, but I said, well, maybe it works for people with Zoom meetings. You don't have to wear pants to Zoom meeting. You can jump in the car after work and go pick up some alcohol and never wear pants all day. But anyway, it's bad. It's just an expansion. And then we had this excuse on, well, it's worked. The governor did it, and let's just keep doing it. No, we don't know if it worked. We don't know if it, it's been a short period of time, if that's going to lead to. And then the other thing on both bills, which I agreed with Senator Kavanaugh, John Kavanaugh, Michaela and I don't see eye to eye, but her brother isn't too bad a individual with rational, is that if we pass those bills, it takes all local control out of it. If you already have a C license to sell alcohol at your restaurant or a quick stop, it was an addition, a DM to that license automatically. Communities could not say no. No, wait a minute. We know that liquor store over here is in a bad location for people to be driving in and out, and you shouldn't have a drive-up liquor window. But over here, out here in this area, it probably works, and we don't mind that. Or a small town says, we just don't want it. We got one liquor store and one restaurant. We don't want people. We got five guys who do 70% of the buying at the liquor store. We don't want those five guys picking up alcohol in a car. It took all local control out of it. So on the restaurant bill, I've been working with Senator Kavanaugh on his amendment that says no. If it passes, which the restaurant one probably will, you can do it. But then you have to go back to the city council to add that DM to your present license instead of just blanket giving it. And then the other one on the drive-up alcohol, I'm hoping it don't go anywhere. Senator Hilkeman is really excited about it. I think he will do a filibuster on that one. It's just not necessary. If there's one industry that didn't get hurt in the pandemic, there's a few people make toilet paper, and alcohol. Alcohol sales was boomed for out of grocery stores everywhere. So yeah, it doesn't need any more help. Got nothing against it. If you want to do it, but get out of your car and go pick it up.
Mm-hmm.
Show your ID and buy it in the store. So I hope that clarifies where I stood on it. Well, the restaurant one I can live with, but the other one I... And here's the other, I could keep going on and going. There's some family-owned restaurants that were given that right to sell that alcohol, don't want to do it. All right, don't want a license to do it. And probably didn't do it during the pandemic. They don't want their license because of moral reasons. They don't want to be serving their help to be mixing drinks and handing them out the window. So they don't want that part of the license. They just want to serve wine or whatever at the table when people come in to eat. But we're going to give them expand their license when they didn't ask for it. It's not. It's Big Brother government. It takes away local control on alcohol licenses. So no. It's where I stood, where I stand. It'll come back on select, and I think Senator Kavanaugh is going to keep his stance that amendment needs to be adopted, and hope Senator Geist works with him and allows that remains a local decision. Anything else?
I don't think so, Senator Groney. The marijuana conversation kind of came back onto the table again last week, but...
I don't even talk about it anymore. I can't do anything about it. Yeah. I've already told everybody I'm not going to support it.
Yeah. Well, and I think that it's... I don't think it's going to go anywhere anyway right now.
I don't know. There's a lot of changed hearts on that thing.
Yeah.
I mean,
and
everything's
you never
possible
know.
Nowadays. You know,
yeah.
Pandemics can be stopped when there really wasn't one. I mean, everything's possible by man nowadays.
Yeah.
So if we can control a pandemic by behavior, then maybe people, if you give them a choice, won't abuse marijuana. If you give it to them, that's the mindset out here.
Yeah. When do priority bills have to be announced by you and your colleague, Senator Groney?
That was last week, Friday.
Friday they were announced. Okay.
It was done. Everything's done now, I believe, yeah. And now we just find out if you can get them out of committee. I got mine out. I think I read only 24 out of 70-some priorities were out. But that's committee priorities and everything. So,
okay.
Out of committee. There'll be a lot this year because there just will be.
Yeah.
Out on the floor. Be a long session.
Yep.
Long days.
Well, hang in there, Mike.
But at least they'll get heard, the priority bills will.
Yep. All right, Senator Groney, we'll let you get to it. As always, we appreciate the time, sir.
Yep, thank you.
Thank you, Senator Groney. Have a good week.